Welcome to the Nova Churches podcast. We are a vibrant, dynamic, multicultural church in Alexandria, Virginia. Join us at 11 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, go to www.thenovachurch.com. We're excited to share this week's message with you. God bless.
Hallelujah. Amen. I feel the presence of the Lord here today. Amen. And I believe that God is able to do anything. And we're going to dismiss our kids and also our youth today for class. And those of us that are alive and remain are going to stay right here. And we're going to go in our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 22. It is the ninth day of January. How many of you have already failed at your New Year's resolution? You'd be honest right now. Somebody said, I need God to break some kind of chain there. I read about this guy who failed at achieving his New Year's resolution for 6 years in a row. He decided to get realistic. The first year, he said, I'm going to get my weight down to 180. The second year, he said, well, I'll watch my calories until I get to 190. The third year, he said, I'm going to follow my diet until I get to 200. Fourth year, he said, I'll try to develop a realistic attitude about my weight. The fifth year, he said, I'm going to work out 5 days a week. The sixth year, his resolution was, I'm going to work out 3 days a week. Finally, on that sixth year, he said, I'm going to just try to drive by the gym at least once a week. I walked into Crumble Cookies last night, confession time, and the place was filled with people. I looked around at all the others who had chosen Crumble Cookies as opposed to Planet Fitness, and I thought, my people. You know, you have to wear a mask to go to the gym. You do not have to wear a mask to eat a cookie. So it is an easy decision. Luke chapter number 22, beginning at verse number 44. I read this study that said 44% of people will make a resolution concerning their health. How many would be honest and say that you made one of those this year? There's like three of us here that are going to be try to be healthier. The rest of us are like, I'm going to eat all the Crumble Cookies I want. Number two was a tie between 29 people saying that theirs involved finances. You don't have to raise your hand for that one. And then 29 people said that they were saying that they wanted to work on their relationship with God this year. And I don't know about you, but I want to be closer to Jesus. I want 2022 to be a year that I can look back and say that my relationship with God was strengthened. In Luke chapter number 22, verse number 41, you know, there are 25 recorded instances where the writers of the Gospels mention Jesus praying. If we're going to have a relationship with God, it's going to involve prayer. But there was one occasion where he prayed for the children, the time he took Peter, James, and John to a mountain to pray. There was one scripture that tells us Jesus finished praying at a certain place, and the disciples cried out and said, Lord, teach us to pray. But there's one occasion, it's here in Luke 22, that I want to draw your attention to this morning. Having finished up what would be called the Last Supper, the meal that we fashion communion after, the Bible says that Jesus went to the Mount of Olives to pray. There's so much in this passage of Scripture that we could really focus on, could be drawn from this one account. But notice with me verse number 41, the Bible says this, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. The place of prayer was about a stone's cast away from everyone else. I want to preach to you this morning from that line about a stone's cast. About a stone's cast. Before you're seated, would you lift up your hands to heaven and ask God to speak to us through His Word? God, we love You. We thank You for the privilege, the opportunity, the honor that it is to be in Your presence, God, to feel the nearness of Your touch that we have felt here in this place today. I pray that You would open up our eyes, our ears, our understanding, that You would help us, God, to receive from Your Word what You would desire for us to receive. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You could be seated. I'm going to remain standing, so feel sorry for me, please. You may notice Pastor Travis is not here. He is under the weather, as is so many others here in our area right now. So we're praying for Pastor Travis. And I was supposed to teach next week, so if I don't do a very good job today, you can blame it on the fact that I got called in a week early. If there's one thing that we learn about God in the Scripture, it is that God is a God of details. Perhaps you've heard the statement, the devil's in the details. But interestingly, that idiom began as God is in the details. And so when God spoke to Noah, He left no room for interpretation. Noah, I want you to build an ark. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it, 50 cubits. And the height of it, 30 cubits. God, in His detail, He was very specific with Noah and how he would do what God was calling him to do. Moses, I want you to make me a sanctuary, and this is how you are going to do it. One translation would say of God's words to Moses, you must build the tabernacle and its furnishings exactly according to the pattern that I will show you. God is a God of details. The Bible is filled with examples, with the precise details of God's plans, His commands, and the working of God. So it is interesting to me that while there are so many occasions in this detail-laden book, that there are certain stories that instead of precision, there is generalization. Places where we are left to wonder exactly what those certain elements were, and we are left to fill in the blanks. The Bible says in the text that I draw your attention to this morning that Jesus was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. And we are not given the exact distance that Jesus walked before finding this place of prayer on this day. There is only this generalization about a stone's cast. Matthew would record of this occasion and say that Jesus went a little further. No cubits were mentioned this time. No precise details were given. It seems more like the recipe that every one of our family, that somebody in each of our families has, where you would ask them how they make something and they say you add just a little. The moment was so important though. It was here in this moment that Jesus would pray a prayer just before He walked into the season for which He was born. And just a few hours from this place, from this moment in Scripture, Jesus will be looking at Pilate declaring, "For this cause came I into the world." This moment's importance cannot be overstated. And yet in this time, there are so many details that are mentioned. We know who was there with them. We know what they were doing. We know that when Jesus prayed, His fervency in prayer was so much that it caused sweat, as it were, like great drops of blood to course down His saving face. But as to where it was exactly that He prayed this prayer, we are only given this generalization, it was about a stone's cast. Jesus is preparing Himself for this season in a place that we are only told about in the most general sense. The one who served as our example, the one in whom we are supposed to be following, the one who we are supposed to be like, found Himself in a place that we only know as being a stone's cast away, and yet it was an all-important place that cannot and should not be overlooked, that Jesus could not and would not bypass. And I would preach to you this morning and tell you that it is a place so hard to find as it may seem to be as we read with just a cursory glance of Scripture. It is a place, this place that is about a stone's cast away, that we must all find ourselves in. And I preach to you today and tell you that if we believe and we should believe that God has a new season that He wants to prepare us for and places that He wants to take us that we have never been before, then we must find ourselves in this place of preparation. The place about a stone's castaway. More than the turning of a calendar year, more than a new day, more than a new season, we must embrace and believe that God has new things for us. That God has created us for some things that we'll never see without finding this place without a stone's cast away. Can I just preach to you today and tell you that God did not create you for more of the same life that you've been living, for more of the same struggle and the same difficulty and the same trials. And I got to tell you, it's more than more of the same. He created me for more than the same. God has greater purpose for me than I've ever experienced. God has a greater anointing for my life than I've ever walked in before. God has a greater devotion that He wants me to partake in than I've ever done before. God has greater things for me. For this cause, I am come into this world. I've got to believe that God has a cause and a purpose and an anointing for my life. And when Jesus understood this, it caused Him to be drawn to this place about a stone's cast away. Because He understood that He had a cause waiting on Him. And when you understand that you did not come into this world merely to exist, that God didn't put you in this place, in this time, in this area, just so you could go through life and simply survive, or maybe let God change your Sunday plans where you come to church on Sunday instead of what you used to do. When you understand that God has something greater than just those little things for you, then you understand that God created you for this time, for a purpose and for a plan, and it is to affect the kingdom and to change your life. But before you can ever experience it, hear me now, before you can ever know what that anointing looks like, before you can ever sense what that feels like to have God's hand moving on you and for you to understand and feel the significance of your life, you've got to first find this place. This place that is a stone's cast away. How far is a stone's cast? The Bible tells us in one scripture in John chapter number 8 that the crowd has found their way to Jesus on a certain day when He had just returned, interestingly, from the same mountain that our text centered upon, the Mount of Olives. Jesus is teaching in the temple. The Bible says in John 8, verse number 2, and early in the morning He came again to the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? The crowd, understand here, brought this woman that the Scripture says was caught in the very act of adultery. There was a very high burden of proof required before someone could be found guilty and subject to the capital punishment of being stoned to death. Most believe that it required at least two eyewitnesses of what would otherwise be a very private sin. But the Bible makes it clear she was caught in the act. So she is surrounded by people who are ready with stones in hand to cast them at her, as it were, until her life would leave her. The judgment of this woman brought them close enough that they could stone her to death, certainly within a stone's cast. Yet the Bible tells us that Jesus kneels to the ground and begins to write on the sand. And again, in another one of those instances where we are not given the detail as to what was written, the Bible says, finally, Jesus rises from the ground and He says, He that is without sin cast the first stone. Let the one who is without sin come within a stone's cast. It was almost as though he were drawing the boundaries by which those accusers could see the distance that they must stay away with their stones. And of course, we don't know what it was that he wrote, whether or not he placed a physical line just beyond where the stones could reach her when he stooped to draw into the sand with his fingers. But we do know this, that those accusers were just outside of the reach with his words. Whoever is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And with those words, they were pushed just beyond the place that they could reach him with their stones. Can I just tell you that with those words, he gives us the first point that I would want to preach to you today about that place, about a stone's cast away, this place of preparation for your next season, this place that God wants to take you to where you'll see future and hope and promise for your life, this place that is without or about a stone's cast. And I tell you that it is a place that is located just beyond the reach of the enemy. It is located just beyond the accuser's reach. Hear me. Before you will ever walk into the season that God created you for, before you will ever see God do in you and for you and through you what He desires to do, you've got to reach a place where you are just beyond where the enemy can reach you. What an embarrassment it was for that woman. She was caught in the act. It was a wounding moment for act. It was brutal. It was embarrassing, no doubt. But one word from Jesus, and it pushed all of her accusers away, because the words of Jesus are more powerful than the wounds of our accuser. Hear me now. The place that God wants to take you to, it has a stopping place, and it's just outside of the reach of your accusers. It's a place where you embrace God's words for you over the words of the accuser in your life. It's a place where you say, God's word is for me more than old wounds in my life. It's a place where you say, I'm going to move beyond my guilt. It's a place where I'm going to move beyond the shame of my mistakes. It's a place where I will move beyond my hurt. It's a place where I say, I'm tired of being defined by what I did and who I was. I'm tired of listening to the voice of the accuser in my life. I'm tired of hearing the voice of my mistakes. Tell me where I've got to be. It's a place where we begin to echo the refrain of Scripture, rejoice not against me. Oh, my enemy, hear me. You've got to put some distance between who you used to be and who you are going to be. But such were some of you. I know that's who I was, but I'm moving beyond that. I found this place about a stone's throw away from the enemy, where he cannot reach me with his accusations anymore. God has a purpose for me, so I've got to find a place about a stone's throw away. Just beyond where the enemy can reach, just beyond where the enemy can condemn, a place about a stone's throw away. But we are given other clues in our search to find this stopping point on the road to our destinies. Matthew says of this place that Jesus went a little farther than the others. He put some distance between him and those who had decided to sleep. In other words, that place was just beyond the distractions. Hear me now. Jesus could have stayed with the others for prayer, but this moment was too important to be distracted. Back with the crowd, there were voices who said, "You don't have to pay that price, Jesus." There were voices of the distracted. There were voices of the unconcerned. There were the voices of the immature. And Jesus put himself just about a stone's cast distance from the distractions. It was just a little farther. Can I just preach to you for a moment and tell you that in order for you to see God do for you what He desires to do, you've got to go farther than where you are right now. You've got to be more committed than you've ever been before. You've got to learn to pray more than you've ever prayed before. You've got to be more devoted than you've ever been devoted before. You've got to move a little farther than the distractions that have stolen your attention away before. You've got to get to the place a stone's cast away from the distractions Can I tell you that there are always going to be distractions that will try to keep you from your destiny? I'll never forget this. When Bennett, my middle child, was, I don't know, maybe about 3 years old, it was his favorite habit that when we were praying, to try to find some way to distract us. He would go and find something and hit play, you know, make some music on some toy. He was like literally the devil incarnate when it came to distracting us from prayer. Like, we don't even need the devil up in here. We got Bennett. But now Bennett's the sweet one. Now Bennett's the one who does the praying. This last night, oh, Annie got it on recording, him praying. Just the sweetest prayers. Parker, I'll never forget this. He was like 4 years old. He would pray, "Lord, help me to hear your voice." But then he'd pray, "And also help me to find real silver and real gold." You know, there's always going to be distractions on the road to destiny. Perhaps our greatest threat to walking into our destiny as a people, our season of breakthrough that we were singing about today, our anointing and our calling, perhaps our greatest threat isn't the devil, and it isn't our past. Perhaps the greatest threat are distractions. Jesus knew that he needed to find a place of prayer, a place that he could hear the voice of God without the distraction of the crowd. So the Bible says he went a little further. Jesus, on his way to his destined appointment with a cross that would bring salvation to the world, on his way, distraction tried to keep him from following the path. Hear me, if you're going to be prepared for the season that you believe that God can bring you into, you've got to learn to put the right amount of distance between you and some things. You've got to learn to turn some things off and turn some other things up. You've got to learn to say no to some things and say yes to some other things. You've got to learn to put some distance between you and the noise. You've got to put some distance between you and the things that hinder you. Hear me. There are some relationships that you're not going to be able to carry with you to the place that God is trying to take you. You've got to say no to some things. There are some TV shows that you can't take with you. There are some music that you can't take with you. There are some old relationships and some old past things that you did that you can't take with you. You've got to be willing to go a little further. But if you will go there, it's worth it, and you will meet Him there. And the Bible says that when he found that place, the angels met him there and ministered to him. Can I just tell you that if you'll go a little further, you'll find strength. If you'll go a little further, you'll find help. If you'll go a little further, you'll find the presence of God there to touch you and to be with you and to help you along the way. The angels met him there. And I'll tell you, I don't know how it works exactly, but when you go a little further in prayer, somehow God will meet you there and He'll give you strength. You say, "I don't know that I can be what God has called me to be." Well, can you just go a little further? He went a little further than the distractions, and there, God helped him. Prayer is the most respected, but the most neglected calling of the Christian, because we are too distracted and we are too complacent. But if somebody will say, "I will go a little farther, I will find a place of prayer," God will meet you there. But finally, I would say, as I rush to a close, my preview service, our first preview service, and thank you to those who have been coming and helping. And I know you can't always do that, but Brother and Sister Williams were at the first one, and I preached for 17 minutes. And Brother Williams leaned up to Brother Travis and like, "I think I found my new church." I don't know if that's exactly what he said, but more or less. So I got to go a little bit over. The last thing I would tell you about this place and our search to find it, because it's not so much a place as it is a position. Position of the heart. It's undistracted. It's separated from the voice of the enemy. And finally, it's a place, it's a position where you can cry out as he did, "Not my will, but yours. Matthew says in verse 39 of chapter 26, as the music begins to come, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." You see, you will never get what God wants for you while you are pursuing what you want for yourself. You cannot get to your calling by bypassing the altar of sacrifice where you say, "I must decrease, you must increase." You can't ask God to be king of your life while you're still sitting on the throne. The Bible tells us that King Saul, he loved to be in the presence of God. He would call David, and David would play, and the presence of God would fill the room, and he would get relief. He was more than happy to give David the floor, but he never intended to give him the throne. And many of us, if we're being honest, there have been times that we have approached God that way. We want Him to move for us. We want Him to give us breakthrough. We'll give Him the floor. "God, this is Your time. It's Sunday. I've marked it off for You. I'm here. Now move." But we never intend to find that place about a stone's throw away where we would say, "God, I just want what You want. I want for me what You want for me. God, everything that I've put before You, I surrender it. I lay it down. I want Your will, not mine. I've spent long enough trying to serve myself, try to live for myself, try to please myself. But now I'm looking for a place, because I believe that You do have a calling for me, and I do believe You have an anointing for me, and I do believe You have a greater thing that You want to do in my life. And I'm willing to find this place, this stopping place on the road to my destiny. A place where I say, not my will, but Yours." Stand with me all over the house. I feel the presence of the Lord here right now. Every one of us have been created for the purpose and the call of God. God has something for you. He didn't create you just to exist, just to go through the motions. He didn't create you just to work a job and make money and build a house and buy things. Somebody said, "Money doesn't buy happiness." And I say, give me a chance to try. Maybe it'll make a down payment. But the reality is, and we all know this deep down, that we were created for more than stuff. And Jesus could be looking at a cross in the distance and could say, "This is what I'm here for." And I believe that it is the will of God that every one of us could look at our lives at some point and say, "This is what I'm here for." Solomon said, "I looked here and I looked there. Everything is vanity. All the stuff, all the prestige, all the power." Because the only way you find the cause that you were created for is if you first find this place about a stone's cast away. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Perhaps you would be honest today and you would say that you are not far enough away from the enemy and his accusations in your life, that you are not far enough away from the wounds of yesterday and the pain and the hurt, the disappointment, the things that they said to you and the things that you did, your memories of the past and all of those things. And you would be honest and you would say, "I'm close enough that it's still hurting me. It's still wounding me." I tell you that you've got to move beyond that place. You've got to go just beyond the place where the enemy can reach you. And let me tell you where that place is. It's at the feet of Jesus. And it's when you begin to listen to His word for you. He says, woman, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You can move beyond the reach of the enemy just with one decision, that I am not what I used to be, and I will not be what I have done in the past. I am finding this place. But perhaps for some of us, we would say that really, we're just too close to the distractions, to the voices and the people and the things that are trying to keep us back. I tell you, you've got to go a little farther. You've got to move beyond the distraction. You've got to move beyond those things that are trying to keep you from what God wants you to be. But perhaps all of us could, as we examine our lives, we would have to say and admit that it's really hard to get to that place where we can say, Lord, not what I will, but what You will. But I tell you that the only way that you will see God do in you and for you what He desires to do is if you will find this place. It is a stopping place that is a prerequisite to the destiny that God has called you to. But if you would say, I'm willing to go there, I tell you that God is willing to take you there. If you're willing to move beyond the accusations of the enemy, God is able to speak a word into your heart and into your life that will give you power to make the enemy drop every stone of accusation against you. If you are willing to move beyond the distractions and go a little farther, the angels will meet you there and they will give you strength and help and sustenance along the journey. If you are willing to go a little farther and say, Lord, not what I will, but what You will be done, then you will find what you're looking for. It's a place just about a stone's cast. Hallelujah. Would you lift up your hands all over the house right now? The Lord is here right now. Today would be a good day for you to just go searching for that place for just a moment. Say, God, I want to turn off the voice of the accuser. The accuser may not even be lying about you. It may have caught you in the act, but you can hear the word of God and say, I don't condemn you. You can go and sin no more. That this day, that this year, that this moment, everything can change. I can find that place about a stone's cast away. Somebody could say, I'm not going to be distracted like I was before. I'm going to pray like I've never prayed before. I'm going to read the word. I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to lose the distractions and go a little bit further. I may not have it all figured out, but I'm going to be a little better than I was yesterday. I'm going to go a little farther than I did yesterday, and I'm going to find a place by God's grace where I will say, not my will, but Yours be done. All over the house, perhaps, if you're comfortable with it, why don't you step out of where you are and come around this altar and find a place of prayer where you would say, God, help me to find that place. If You will take me there, I will go. I will surrender. I will shut off the voice of the enemy. I will be what You have called me to be. And if you're uncomfortable coming around the front, find a place right there. Make an altar right there at your seat. Everybody, there's an invitation for you to come to that place about a stone's cast away. They're going to begin to sing as they do. Would you begin to lift up your hands and your voices just in declaration to God, Lord, I want to go there. I want to find that place. Lord, I pray that I would embrace Your word as You have challenged me to shut off the voice of the enemy, that Your word would cause every accuser stone to drop. God, that I would surrender myself and I would turn off every distraction in my life, and that I would surrender myself completely to Your will for my life. Come on, God wants to touch you today.